If you promoted your business on, I'm going to help you grow your business, that won't make your business stand out because everybody else is probably talking about growth. Whereas actually, if you, when you focus on certainty of, I will look after you, I'll support you, I'll help you get the results that you want, whatever they happen to be, that will make you stand out more.
Welcome to the Women Choosing Growth podcast, where we bring you practical advice and guidance on how to grow your business and achieve success in your entrepreneurial journey. We feature inspiring stories of success, challenges of growth, and lessons learned from women entrepreneurs, industry experts, and thought leaders who have been through the growing pains inevitable as an entrepreneur. Whether you are just getting started or are looking to scale up your business, our show is designed to provide you with the tools, resources, and community you need to grow your business. Join your host, Tina, a lifelong entrepreneur and business growth advisor, as we explore topics such as marketing, sales, finance, leadership, and personal growth, all tailored specifically to the needs of women entrepreneurs. So if you're ready to grow your business faster and smarter and learn from the experiences of those who have traveled the growth path before you, then this podcast is for you. Thanks for tuning in and let's get started.
Welcome back to another episode, ladies. Today we have with us Chantel Cornelius, and she is going to show us and tell us why having a unique selling proposition is not what gets clients. Matter of fact, she has been the founder of AppleTree Marketing since 2000. So over the last several decades, she's been helping hundreds of coaches, consultants, speakers, and other service-based businesses achieve their goals through making strong emotional connections with their clients. Chantel knows that the key to standing out from competition isn't that unique selling proposition, especially in service industries, because it's really hard to set yourself apart. Whereas maybe in product businesses, you can have features that can set you aside and be that USP. But for service businesses, it's really about the emotional connection between you and your potential client and your ongoing clients. So her mission is to help business owners realize the path to success does not involve churning out endless content, and it does not involve talking about your USP, but there's actually five strategies that we go through in this episode that talks about how you specifically and in your business with your ideal clients, which of those strategies you should be using all the way in all of your marketing, from the marketing side of things through the sales process and the ongoing communication with clients once they do buy your service. So she is here with us today and we're super excited. Well, ladies, you know how much I love having our episodes be very impactful. And today we are doing one of my favorite styles of actually working through something for me with our wonderful guest, Chantel, because we are going to reveal some strategies. But before we do that, Chantel, I know that you have been working on these strategies even before you realized what you were doing. And this really stems from your childhood. I would love for you to share with our listeners how you managed, to develop these strategies well before you were even, you weren't even a teenager yet. So please share.
Okay. So, yeah. Thank you, Tina. And yeah, I've been researching these strategies and ways of helping businesses and business owners to stand out. I've been researching them since 2015, and 9 years on, I'm still working on it. The book is nearly done. But as part of the research, I started thinking about, okay, where did this actually come from? I've been running my business, AppleTree Marketing, for nearly 24 years, and all through that time, I've had a real passion about helping other people to stand out. That was one of the reasons I set the business up. I wanted to help more businesses to stand out from their competition. But the more recent work that I did got me looking even further back, like, where did this actually come from? Why am I so passionate about it? And I realized that it goes back to when I was seven. When I was five, my parents had separated. My mum, who had two little girls and nowhere to live, mum got a job as a live-in housekeeper with a guy who was divorced himself and had three older children. So mum moved in to look after him and his kids, and we went with her. So I'd gone from this little close-knit community of me, my mum and my sister, to all of a sudden being part of, there were seven of us in the family. And a story for another day is that my mum and this chap eventually got together and he became my stepdad, and, you know, we were together for a very long time. Sadly, they both passed on. But that's another story. But so when I was six, seven, all of a sudden I found myself in this big family and I wasn't getting the attention that I wanted as a seven-year-old. And my eldest stepsister, who I adore, still teases me about this 40-something years later. What I used to do is we might be out playing in the garden and I would fall over. You know, I might trip over or one of them might push me over because I was the youngest. And I'd be lying on the ground going, right, where's my mum? Looking around. If I could see her, I would start crying. I'm embarrassed to say this. I can't believe you're making me say this live.
I'm live for the world to hear.
I know. So I would be crying to get my mum's attention. If I couldn't see her, I didn't cry. I just got up and carried on because she wasn't there. So I was always looking for ways for me, little me, to stand out. Part of the challenge was is that my real sister, Caroline, she's 2 years older than me, but when I got to about 5 or 6 years old, I overtook her in height. She's still tiny. She's amazing too. But she was always smaller than me. So I couldn't use the, oh, but I'm the youngest sort of excuse, because my mum would always go, well, you're bigger than her. You probably started the fight. And it's mostly quite true, actually. I probably did. So I was always looking for ways of getting my mum's attention because it was there. And she was the most amazing mum, and I miss her like crazy. But it was the seven-year-old going, right, what else can I do? Where is she? What can I do to get the focus on me? So I think that's where it comes from. And I've taken that onwards into helping business owners and entrepreneurs to look for ways of getting attention, mm-hmm. not necessarily from falling
don't over cry yeah not by crying but
different ways of standing out. So yeah, that's where it comes from.
I absolutely love that. You know, when we take the time to go back to like the roots and some of our beliefs, we've had some guests on the show that like go back to those childhoods. So I appreciate you sharing and love that this has been ingrained in you for so long. I also love, like you're saying, you know, you hear a lot of marketing, you need to know your USP, your unique selling proposition or unique selling point. And you're saying, no, you can do things differently. And you have decades of experience working with clients that you strongly have result and belief that USPs are lovely, but not what we should be focusing on.
Absolutely. They do not work anymore. And I'm getting braver at saying USPs don't work. They don't work for service businesses. So if you are a coach, consultant, trainer, speaker, Reiki healer, magician, accountant, if you provide a service where people are paying you for your time and your expertise, USPs just don't work anymore. And I think it's because there are so many businesses out there. All, if you Google marketing consultants, even in the UK where I'm based, there are thousands. So it's impossible for me to say in the old style of, well, my unique selling point is, I could say, oh, I build partnerships with my clients, or I stay with them for the journey, or I'm uniquely focused on my clients. Yeah, everybody says that. Mm-hmm. There is nothing unique about unique selling propositions anymore. And that's what led me to look for, a bit like when I was seven, okay, what's a better way of doing this? Well, how can I really get some attention?
Yes. And I see that a lot, and I can relate completely, because one of the main businesses that I was growing, again, decades ago too, we would say like, oh, it's our people. And you still hear people saying that. But, you know, 30 years ago, that might have made sense because people were dedicated. They came mm-hmm. to your business. They stayed there till they retired. Now it's like we're all sharing the same staff within an industry. So like, it's not my people because they literally came from my competition 6 months ago. And who knows where they'll be 2 years from now.
6 months. So
yeah. So I remember those days being saying the same thing for my own business. Like, we have to say something different. It's not our staff. Literally, we're sharing staff. You know, so absolutely can relate to that.
Yeah.
So let's dive in.
Yep.
Where does someone start when they are looking for a new way of standing out?
Okay. The research that I started doing 9 years ago led me down a route of emotions and feelings and connections with our clients. We all have to connect with clients. And what I discovered is that the best way to do this is through the emotions that they feel. Now, this is quite a big shift because, you know, I do a lot of professional speaking and I might stand on stage going, look at me. It's all about me. It's not about me. It's about the audience. Mm-hmm. So if you think of that as well in terms of a coach or a consultant, it's not about them. They are not the hero of the story. It's their clients. So that's the first thing to be really aware of, that we have to be thinking about the emotions that our clients and that our audience wants to feel when they work with us or when they hear us speak. And through all my digging and research and reading, I've identified 5 different strategies that can be used. Now, most businesses will have one of those 5 that is the one that makes them stand out. Occasionally, they might have 2. I do see that every now and then, certainly no more than 2. I ran a workshop a little while ago and somebody went through the process and he said, yep, I've got all 5. I said,
you did say he.
I said, this is about showing how you are unique. You cannot use 5 strategies. So it's about picking one. So shall I take you through the 5?
Please do.
Talk you through. Okay. The first one is called certainty. This is when clients want to work with somebody who is effectively a safe pair of hands. My clients see me as a safe pair of hands. I will tell them what marketing to do. I don't leave it to chance. I don't say, oh, well, maybe you could do this, or if you think you might want, they don't want that. They just want somebody to tell them what to do. So I'm known as certainty. I give my clients confidence and clarity in their marketing. So that's certainty. The second one is connection. This is where people will work with you because they want you to connect them to other people. A favorite example at the moment is the Professional Speaking Association here in the UK. There are lots of other associations around the world. There's NSA in the States. I've just been out to Singapore to speak at the APSS conference. These groups, and actually it's quite similar for networking groups, people join them because of that sense of community and a sense of belonging. I go to my local chapter because I know the people there and I can meet new people and they will connect me to the people I need. So that's connection. The third one is called contribution. This is where when clients work with you, if contribution is the right strategy for you, it's because they want to feel a sense of giving back, of paying it forwards. We were talking earlier before we came online about charity shops. I buy a lot of my clothes. In fact, I buy all my clothes from secondhand stores. And that gives me a warm, fuzzy feeling. So charities, when they get it right, if they use contribution, they don't just say, oh, make a donation. They say, buy these clothes and you will feel amazing. So that's an example of contribution. The fourth one is growth. Now, this could be because clients want either personal or professional growth. It could be both. Could be either. I was writing my email newsletter this morning and I was actually writing about growth and I sat here thinking, who can I write about? And I have a fabulous client called Sue, who is a trainer. She specializes in training women in how to be more assertive, and we've just rewritten some content for her website, and I used the language that goes with growth. So the website was a bit factual. And we've changed the website to talk about, do you want to be energized? Do you want to feel energetic? Do you want to feel challenged and stretched? And that's the language that goes with growth. And Sue uses it beautifully in her marketing. So we've put that onto her website. quite often it's where clients want personal growth, but they also want business growth. So they might start off saying, well, I want to grow my business, but actually they need some personal work first that goes hand in hand. A lot of coaches do the two brilliantly, so that works really nicely. And the final one is called significance. This is where clients will work with you because they want a way of standing out, of feeling heard, feeling respected, being listened to and understood. They want to be bigger and better. And I have a lovely friend, coach, colleague called Susan who uses significance brilliantly. She actually helps me. She's coaching me in my stage presence. Susan used to be an opera singer, and she now coaches people in on stage presence. So she will help me to stand properly and be much more impactful, rather than going, oh, I don't know what I'm saying.
So that's just an example.
that was me 20 years ago. So yeah, those are the five. And generally, like I said, there will be one strategy where people go, yeah, I think it's that one. Sometimes two. So did any of those resonate with you?
Yes. And it's funny, as you were describing them, I was thinking of clients as well, that like, okay, that particular client or business I'd imagine would be, you know, more towards that. Now you mentioned in the beginning, it's mostly for service businesses, but you're talking all kinds of service. So like accounting, professional services, like I was referring to my home health business back in the day. Mm-hmm. So not just coaches or like,
yeah, right. So anything that isn't, if it's selling products, it doesn't work for as well, because products have features. You know, you can say, well, you can have this mug or you can have this glass. You can show people the differences. Mm-hmm. So for products, it is easier to work out a USP. Sometimes these strategies work with really high-end products, like very expensive cars or jewelry, it works. But otherwise, services where there's no physical product, it's intangible. Yeah, it just works beautifully.
And I can see where it would be really impactful if in service, right? You're usually, you could be, if you're the buyer of a service, you're maybe looking at a couple different options, a couple different companies. So it's this option to be able to set you apart from, okay, like there's five companies I'm looking at, they're all based around the same price. How am I going to make a decision? Yeah. And this language and these strategies are what could really set a company apart.
And particularly because this work is all based around emotions, when we use the language that goes with the correct strategy, you know, when I talk to clients and potential clients, I say, I'll look after you. I'll be a safe pair of hands. I won't leave you wondering what marketing to do. I'll just tell you. And then I quite often will say, and I'll tell you not to go on social media. And I watch people just relax. Oh, thank goodness. Yeah, I don't have to be on TikTok and Instagram all the rest of it. So because it taps into their emotions and how they're feeling. And that's, you know, if you're in a lineup with four or five other competitors, nobody else is going to be talking about the emotion that the client wants to feel. So straight away, you've got an advantage.
Are you an accomplished woman business owner with a story to tell? Do you crave a platform where you can share your journey, the good, the bad, and the ugly? Hey everyone, it's Tina here. If you're fans of the show, then you know we are a show that celebrates the strengths and resilience of women entrepreneurs just like you. As we're getting this podcasting community going, I thought it would be fitting to extend an invitation to apply to join me as a guest on our Top 100 podcast platform. I started Women Choosing Growth because I believe that real growth happens when we come together and share our expertise and our experiences. We want to hear your inspiring stories, the challenges you face, and the lessons you've learned on your entrepreneur journey. Whether you've triumphed over adversity or faced setbacks head on, your story has the power to inspire and empower other women just like you. This platform is for you to showcase your achievements, highlight your expertise, and create meaningful connections within our community. So if you're a fearless woman business owner, unafraid to open up about your path to success, We want you on our show. Go to www.womenchoosinggrowth.com and join our community. From there, you'll be given the chance to fill out the short application. If you believe that you have a story to share, then why not? Once again, it's www.womenchoosinggrowth.com. I can't wait to feature more amazing and talented women in this community. Now, back to the show.
Question for you. When we're going to go through how to find out which of these five strategies is right for each listener. Once they know they're one, or like you said, sometimes there might be two, but once they know their strategy, where are they applying this strategy? Is it in all of their marketing? You mentioned website, you mentioned social media. Explain where this comes in.
Yeah, that's a great question. And yeah, the answer is everywhere.
Okay.
Everywhere that you, what I love about this is it actually goes through marketing and sales and customer service or delivery. So anytime you write or produce anything, so all over your website, your LinkedIn profile, if you produce a video to go on YouTube, if your strategy is, let's say, growth, then the video needs to talk about growing and how the client will grow. Or it could be, hello, my name is Chantal, I help clients to grow. So using it, so it's using the language in any sort of content that you do in your marketing. It also goes into sales. When I have sales conversations with clients, because I'm certainty, I will talk to them about being a safe pair of hands, about giving them the confidence and the clarity. I was talking to a client earlier today who said, you gave me the confidence to shout about how great I am in my business. I was like, oh, that's wonderful. I love that. That's why I do what I do.
Like, so, I love the word.
Yeah. Those are words that I use when I'm having a sales conversation with a client, with a potential client. And then the third area to use them is in your delivery, in everything you do. There are sections in my new book talking about how to live certainty, how to live growth. And I've got tips and advice on how to do it. So if significance is your strategy, live significance. Always be looking to make an impact. Always be looking at how you can make more of an impact. If contribution is your strategy, live contribution. Do great stuff for people who need help. Support clients in their charity endeavors, that sort of thing. So yeah, it goes through marketing, sales, delivery, all of it, everywhere.
The whole journey from lead to working with that particular company or person.
Because if you don't have it all the way through the journey, and I've seen this too often, particularly with big companies, they'll sign up a client on one strategy and then they start delivering something else and there's a real mismatch. And you're as the client, you're left going, hang on, but I bought into this because you said you'd give me this. And now you're trying to sell me that mismatch. Mm-hmm. It does happen more. I see it more with bigger businesses. Smaller businesses where there's just one person or there's a tight-knit team, it's the same. It's when there's a bigger business, there might be a marketing department, a sales department, a delivery department.
Sure.
If they're not talking to each other, there can be a bit of a mismatch. So that's where it needs to be consistent across all the strands.
I like it. So we don't forget, people can take this test, which was simple. I did it. And we're going to reveal my results here shortly on your website. And we'll have that in the show notes as well. The question on that, though, when they are taking the test, and I sort of thought about it for a second, and then I just went with it. What frame of mind should they be in when they're answering some of these really, really quick questions?
Oh, that's a fabulous question.
I overthink things. So even in like personality tests, like, is this me at home? Is this me at work? Is this my work life, Tina? You know, like, okay. So brilliant. What kind of frame of mind?
Okay. You need to be in a frame of mind of definitely thinking about business. This is not, if I was taking the test, this is not how I feel. This is a real focus on my clients. What do my clients want to feel? What are they saying about me? It's too often I see people rush through the test. If it takes 20 minutes, fine, take 20 minutes. If I use this test in workshops that I run, and quite often people will go tick, 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 tick. they've started it before I've even given them the instructions. They do it too quickly. Then they go online and do the free test there, and they get a different result. The online version is more accurate because I put the numbers through some software and I come up with different way of looking at it. So it's about, take your time. It is also about having a bit of gut feeling, because as you look through the language, the columns for the different strategies, some people will look and go, oh, I just completely resonate with that column there, the green one. Okay, go with it. But if you're not sure, take some time, have a think about it. The other tip that's really useful is, if you're really not sure, this is all about what your clients say about you when they work with you. So if you're not sure, the best thing to do is ask them. Mm-hmm. And do that before you take the test. Pick up the phone, have some conversations with a couple of clients, and the question to ask them is, how do you feel when you work with me? Now, clients will often go, oh, I love working with you, you're great. Okay, that's very nice, but that's not what we're after. We're after the feelings. How do you feel? So if a client just says, oh, yeah, you're great, I love working with you, probe. Okay, how do you feel? How do I make you feel? Although you can't actually make anyone feel. What's the feeling you have at the end of a coaching session? What sort of emotions do you go through when you think about me? What positive emotions, I should say, do you think about, you go through when you think about me? So that's the frame of mind to be in. It's about inquiry. It's about a bit of investigation. Be curious as well. There are no right or wrong answers to this test. You can't get it wrong unless you tick all the words in all the lists.
Yeah, unless you brush through it and aren't really thinking.
But take your time. And if need be, print it out, take a screenshot of it, go away, have a look at the words, come back later on and fill it in. So yeah, the more time you take, the better it'll be, really.
And if someone is looking, that they can totally ask their clients, because those people are already paying, working with them. So it's clear that they're going to be able to give you accurate. If someone's looking at maybe upscaling their marketing and their messaging, could they also be in the frame of mind of what I want my clients to feel by working with me? Or should it be factual?
Yeah, that's another really interesting question. With my business, when I was first looking into this, I at the time, I had a team of young people working here with me. They were fabulous. They were excited about marketing and social media. And I thought the strategy that made my business stand out was growth. I thought that my clients all wanted massive growth and that they came to work with us because they loved social media and they love marketing. Not true. They want certainty. They want the safe pair of hands. So what I found, I was trying to grow my business, but I was trying to grow it on the growth strategy, which left the existing clients going, hang on, but we want a safe pair of hands. We don't want all that growth stuff. We've got a great reputation. Just maintain it for us. So I stopped trying to do growth and I switched my focus back on to certainty, which actually brought in a load more clients. So if you're looking to really grow your business and you want to use these strategies, you do need to look at your existing clients as well, because if you start going down a different strategic route, you're going to lose the clients you've got. Now, I realized doing this work that I had a reputation for being a safe pair of hands. It's not very exciting. In fact, it's the least sexy of the five. I love it because I actually find it really easy to use as a marketing strategy. But it for a while, I was like, oh, I don't want to do certainty. I want to be growth. But my clients would go, no, we want certainty. Give us certainty. So, I listened to what the clients demanded. And it's just meant that I now have a reputation for being, well, a bit bossy as well. But, you know, I challenge my clients. I say, no,
clearly it works.
Don't do that. Stop it. Do this. And eventually they go, okay, she'll tell us what to do. So.
Which I can see why clients would hire that versus, a company who isn't and just doing whatever the thing is that's cool today.
Yeah. And, you know, there are clients out there. There are businesses out there who want that. There may be faster growing companies who go, yeah, okay, we want to be on TikTok and we want to be doing this, that, and the other, and we need a company who's going to help us grow, and it's all really fun and fast and exciting. That's fine. That's not my style of clients. I would much rather work with the clients who just go, yep, slow and steady, this is what we'll do. Yeah. So it does depend a lot on the business owner and the team, but equally for me, I mean, I just saw a perfect match between my existing clients wanted certainty. I looked at it and went, well, I can do that. That's easy. Why bother trying to go off down those other routes? So
I find it interesting that you thought you were the growth and want to be the sexier one. It sounds like more impactful, but your clients actually are hiring you for a particular need. So absolutely, that's why I love this desk.
Yeah, there are potential clients who've come to me who've said, how quickly can you get me results? At which point I go, I'm not the right person to work with you. I go slow and steady. I will build your reputation. I will get you results. I will get you the clients you want, but it ain't going to be quick. It's going to take time. And I work with a lot of businesses who, a lot of coaches who only want a dozen clients a year. They're not looking for thousands. I get emails every now and then go, we can get you 500 leads this month. Like, I don't want that many. Thank you very much.
I get those spam emails too.
If I have a client who's got a really fabulous reputation, they've been coaching for 20 years, they only want 12 clients. That's a very different type of marketing to a company that wants loads of leads. So I turn potential clients away when I see that there isn't a fit. If they need something different, I will refer them to somebody else.
Okay. You've given some great examples of each of these five. Let's dive into mine since I have not. I took the test online, people, and have not looked at it. So she has my results. Once someone does this as well, just like I did, what is the next stage? Like, walk me through it.
Let me talk you through the test as well, because that'll probably help. So on my website page, there are five lists of words, and what you need to do is read through them all. It's like being in an exam. Read through it all, get to the last question before you do anything. Read all the words and absorb them and take them in. What you're then looking for are the words on any of the lists that jump out at you as the emotions that your clients feel when they work with you. Now, for some people, they'll look down one list and go, yep, all of those, perfect, and nothing from any of the other lists. I see that quite often. Otherwise, you might pick words from different lists, but this is not about picking as many as possible. It's about picking probably 4, 5, 6 words from each list maximum. It's not about going, okay, I have to have 6 from each list. That's not it. I have seen, for me, certainty is so strong that I tick everything in the certainty list pretty much, and I can ignore the rest. Mm-hmm. I see other clients, other businesses where they have a bit more of a mix. So there might be 2 in this list and 4 in that one and 5. What you'll notice, though, is that the lists of words are not the same length. There are different numbers, and it's just the way the lists have evolved. I'm still adding to them. I ran a workshop recently and somebody said, well, why isn't this on this list? I was like, oh, okay, right, I'll add it. So you tick the ones on the online version. You tick the words, the feelings, the emotions that really resonate with you. And when you're totally happy, fill in the details, stick in an email address, and hit submit. And that fires an email through to me. I take the numbers and I run them through a little bit of software that I have, which mucks around. Oh, it's a math thing. It mucks around with the numbers based on the number of words and the proportions. And what it does is it then spits out one. I look at the numbers and the percentages and bits and pieces. So for instance, for you, Tina, one of yours, your highest has come out at 53%.
Okay.
Your next, or a score of 53, your next one is 35. So this says to me that this one, I'm not going to tell you what it is yet, This is definite for you. The next one is quite a long way down. So it's not a case of, have I got 2? No, you've got 1. And the other scores come in at 19, 17, 16. So they're way down there for you. other people, and I'm just looking through some of the other results I've got, you know, I've had some people where they might have two lists that are both 35 as their score, absolutely dead heat, but then everything else is really low. For me, my certainty score will be about 90, and everything is way down. So yeah, so that's
a definite works. Yes.
Yeah. So when you were going through the lists, was there any particular list that stood out for you? Oh, and I should say at this point, the lists don't have the strategy names on them on the website, and that's done on purpose. So you can't go, I think I'm going certainty. They are coloured. So can you remember which, was there a colour that stood out for you?
I don't remember the colour, but I think it was the first column. That it was either the first or the second. I think it's the first one that I think you have on there, like pick up to 7, and I had to strategically stop. At 7, because I would have picked more, but I'm a rule follower, so I stopped at the number. I'm pretty sure it was the first one, and then I think maybe the second column or third column. I went, well, this is easy. There's like 2, yeah. So, and I didn't read all of them. I went in order again, mm-hmm. a rule follower. So I did the first column, picked them, but yeah, there was one where I was like, oh, I can only have 7, which maybe not necessarily true, but I read it for what it was. So there was one that. Definitely had a lot of options.
That's okay. This is really interesting. So your highest score, you picked 8 from the certainty list.
Okay.
Which is actually the fifth list. Certainty is the strategy I spoke about first, mm-hmm. but it's the fifth one wrong. And I do that. I do it on purpose. I mix the colors up so that people don't think, oh, I'm definitely that. So that gave you a score of 53. So that is your highest.
Certainty.
Yeah. Okay. You also chose 7 from the growth list, which gave you a score of 35. So if I were you, I would be leading your marketing with certainty, talking about being a safe pair of hands, giving people confidence, helping them to become aligned and feel safe. But you can also weave a bit of growth in. Mm-hmm. Now, you need to be careful because your certainty score is high and your growth score is nowhere near as high. If you'd have got, say, 53 for certainty and 50 for growth, I'd say, great, use both. But it could well be that people come to you in the first place because they want certainty. They want somebody who is going to tell them what to do in order to grow personally.
Yeah,
so that's where spot you can start. Yeah, that's does that work?
That is spot on. The emotion is to have someone in their, you know, on their side, on their team, equal, growing their business with them. And growth is the outcome of the work that we do together. So that is perfect.
I love my job. every now and then I think, does this work? But you've just proved it does. So
yes,
100%. What's really interesting there is that if you promoted your business on, I'm going to help you grow your business, that won't make your business stand out because everybody else is probably talking about growth. Mm-hmm. Whereas actually, when you focus on certainty of I will look after you, I'll support you, I'll help you get the results that you want, whatever they happen to be, that will make you stand out more. A lot of coaches I speak to think that they have to go for growth and significance. I worked with a client last year who actually coaches all around the world. She's American, she lives in the UK, she has clients all around the world, and they're very high powered executives. And she was saying, oh no, it's definitely significance or growth. And we looked at the numbers and it was certainty. They just want somebody that they can trust and almost bring them down to earth and go, stop messing about over there, just mm-hmm. do this. So
yep, it's a lot of what I do as well.
They'll
come to me. I just need to run this past you because I'm thinking this, and they will go with what, you know, tell me all the things and then no, we need to do this.
Yeah.
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 That's
and
awesome.
They probably, like my clients, they probably use you as a sounding board. I have clients who phone me up and go, I've got this great idea. Can I just run this past you? And they go, blah, 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 and they rabbit away for half an hour, whatever. And then they go, so I'm going to do this. Is this okay? And I go, yes.
Yeah.
they know what to do, but they just want somebody to go, yes, you are doing the right thing.
Yes, you're on the right path. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah, I am glad that we waited to reveal those results online, and maybe a little nervous for you, but they were spot on. So clearly your analysis works. So where can someone find, would they work with you, or once they know what they are, like for me, it's certainty. Yeah. What kind of words should I be using? What, you know, in my marketing strategies, how do I then now implement it now that I know what I should be doing?
Okay. This is then going back to the page where you take the test. And this is why I often say to people, take a screenshot, save the page somewhere. So for instance, for you, the blue list, which is certainty, has words in it like assigned, aligned, assurance, clarity, confidence, focus, peace of mind. Those are the words to really focus on in your marketing. So you can be saying phrases like, when my clients work with me, they feel a sense of clarity. I give them confidence. I take control of the situation. I help them to focus. I give them safety and peace of mind. Those are the words to be using in your marketing. And when I said earlier, it goes everywhere. Website, LinkedIn profile, biographies for being on podcasts, all of that. Mm-hmm. When I mentioned my client Sue, and she's growth, when I was writing her the new content for her website, I looked at the purple list, which is growth, and picked words. I had great fun doing it because I went for a whole load of ease. So it's about look at the words that are there, see how many of them you can weave into. Not one sentence, but, you know, if you can get...
That would be awkward. That's a lot of adjectives in one sentence.
It would be a lot. And I'm just thinking, so, for instance, on certainty, certainty is actually one of the shortest lists. There are 15 words. I should probably add some more. So don't try to put all 15 into one paragraph, but you can sprinkle them in.
Sure.
So have a play. Because then when a potential client is reading your website or looking at your LinkedIn profile, when they know subconsciously that they want certainty, they don't know this until they realize when they're working with you.
But until they listen to this podcast.
Yeah, when they read your words, they go, oh, she gets me. I want that. And that's when they get in touch.
Right. And that circles back to what you originally said, and the reason that you're so passionate about what you do is because a USP of, oh, we have these certifications, or we have the most amazing staff, or it's really buyers. We all know this. People buy based on their emotion, whether they know it or not. So
absolutely. Yeah.
That's why we're trained.
The research that's been done shows that we make 95% of our buying decisions, in fact, of any decision, subconsciously. So I might walk into a shop, into a store, and look at the red jumper, the red sweater, and go, I want that. My brain has already decided I'm having it. And then, so we make the decision subconsciously and emotionally with the 95%. Then the 5% that's left rationalizes, going, oh, well, of course, it's cheap, and the money's going to charity because it's from a charity store, and it'll go with that pair of pants that I have. So yeah, we go emotional and irrational, and then we back it up with the rational, conscious side. So yeah,
right. Well, and I honestly think that everyone should be wearing red, don't you?
I think perhaps they should. I don't know where we got that idea, but yes, I think.
I don't know why. Those listening are like, "What? That's random." But if you're not watching us on video, we are both randomly wearing bright red today.
I'm not wearing red today. Even my glasses are red.
Yes, exactly. Okay, so I think we have covered everything on your strategies, what they mean, how to use them, when to use them. Any last words for our listeners that we maybe didn't cover that they must know?
Be brave. Give it a go. Take the test. And I will send you your results. I also send out, I have an ebook that I send to people that covers all five. So when I send the results, if I say, right, your result is definitely certainty, there's a whole load of information in the ebook about certainty, about the language. But it's also worth reading the other four, because that may make you go, oh, yeah, no, I'm definitely certainty. And then just be brave, because there are still, I've been talking about this for 8 or 9 years now. But there are still an awful lot of people who don't understand it. And the the difference it makes is phenomenal. The light bulb moments I have when clients go, oh, that just makes so much sense. And then when I see the work coming into them just as a result of them changing the language that they use. So yeah, be brave, give it a go. Oh, there's one other place we haven't talked about using, and that's networking. Mm-hmm. Whether you're online networking or in the room, if somebody says to me, what do you do? I rarely say I'm in marketing because most people yawn and switch off at that point. But I will talk about the fact that I work with business owners, coaches, consultants, speakers to show them what marketing to do. And then I support them along the way. And it's, again, it's using the language when you speak it. One of the exercises that I often do when I'm running workshops is I get the people there to create a new one-liner so that when somebody says, oh, hello, what do you do? Mm-hmm. They have a line that is more them and it's got the emotions in. So, yeah, but be brave, play with it, have a go. And if you get stuck, shout and I can help.
Okay. And we will put the link to the website version in the show notes so that you can click in one place and get that. And I can't wait to see how much impact you have on all the listeners and their businesses.
Thank you so much. That's been so much fun talking through it all.
Yes, it's been fun to reveal my results.
I'm glad they were right.
I always love doing a reveal on an episode. So thank you for encouraging me with that.
You're welcome. Well, now you have to be brave as well, please, Tina, and go and put some of the language, the certainty language, into your marketing and see what results you get.
Literally doing the website right now. So we will. Yay. It was perfect timing.
Perfect.
All right. Thanks again.
Thanks, Tina.
I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Please be sure to hit subscribe on your favorite podcast platform so you never miss an episode. The Woman Choosing Growth Show is not just another podcast. It's a tribe of women helping each other grow. So please share this podcast with all the women entrepreneurs that you would love to see succeed. If you'd like to know more about customized business advising through Cultivate Advisors, download business tools, or sign up for upcoming events, visit www.womenchoosinggrowth.com. Once again, that's www.womenchoosinggrowth.com. Remember, we are in this together. See you on the next one.